Access and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The pilot of a Delta Connection flight from Minneapolis to Minot, North Dakota, told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber.
For those of you on the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it.
There's an Air Force base nearby. SkyWest says it's investigating. Severe storms swept the East and Midwest over the weekend. CBS's Rob Marciano.
In the Midwest, hail up to the size of softballs battering this storm chaser's windshield in Nebraska. And this funnel cloud spotted in Indiana as more severe storms threaten the Ohio Valley.
A 102-year-old D-Day survivor and TikTok star who regaled young people with his war stories has died.
I'm just a country boy. If it weren't for TikTok, I would not be reaching any of these people.
His granddaughter says Papa Jake Larson died peacefully. Cracking jokes until the very end. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. ATV UTVing has become a wildly popular activity in the state. The combination of increased usage and not much maintenance on county trails brings community partners together to make the trails better.
We're improving the ATV trails. They haven't been really touched in like 3 years, so we're kind of improving them, making them easier route. They're pretty muddy.
That's Alyssa Whitman. She works for the Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry, stationed out of the Wisconsin Rapid Service Center. Whitman said she was operating a John Deere bulldozer to make improvements on the trail, filling in low areas and making the routes better. Their department uses the bulldozer for fire suppression in the spring, and then it can be utilized for other project work throughout the year. They open up the work to other stations in the area so DNR staff can put in the hours they need to retain their certification.
So each operator needs 30 equipment hours each year on our dozers, so each operator in the department has 30 hours to give. We're just kind of helping out our county partners.
Whitman said operators from the Friendship and Plover Ranger stations will spend time on the dozer working on trails throughout the county. It not only helps them attain the minimum amount of hours needed to retain their qualifications on the equipment, but also helps improve the trail systems in the county for recreational users. In more ATV UTV news, the Wisconsin DNR urges families to take safety seriously when operating these vehicles, especially when children are riding. So far this year, 21 people have been killed in ATV-UTV crashes. Remember, helmets are required for all riders under age 18. Youth under 16 must operate age-appropriate vehicles and have completed an ATV safety certification course. Parental supervision is strongly encouraged, even for certified riders. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit. RBI, Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins, Vaughn, and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. It's going to be warm and muggy with a high in the low to mid 80s with scattered thunderstorms possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Maggie Dawn.
On Monday, I'll still be camping in the Northwoods, so Matt Rothschild is in the guest host chair. He'll be bringing you his thoughts about Wisconsin progressivism and, of course, some slamming poetry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 on a Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Nice to have you here up north and statewide. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around as co-host for this fine Monday morning. And Parker, let's give the guys in Madison a proper introduction.
Civic Media Now proudly present... Proudly? Proudly. Seriously, proudly. That's a stretch. Uh-oh. How about, here they are, John and Gordy. Let's go with that, shall we?
Probably. Yes. Let's go with
that. Who writes this crap?
That's Catherine Lake, yeah, our program manager.
That would be Catherine. Yep, yeah, giving you just the her giving it her all on an introduction. Yeah. So thanks for that, Catherine. Guys, how are you?
Doing okay for a Monday. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
We're good here. Well, we're ensconced in our usual weekday morning home, whereas Brittany's out there in the elements. Which makes sense because she's a meteorologist, but she's out in the elements of the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. So rain or shine, she's one happy camper, quite literally, aren't you?
I really am. Woo! Camping out here all week long, like you said, through all the storms and anything that's coming my way. This morning, overnight, it was pretty crisp. It was chilly out there. Temperatures right now, 54 to 68 degrees across the state. We're going to stay refreshed today. Nice and comfortable. Low 70s to low 80s. Statewide, no big humidity or mugginess really pushing in, but the wildfire smoke is here, so a hazy sunshine and also a few clouds scattered out there as well. So a little breezy this morning. The heat will start to crank up a little bit tomorrow, and we are looking at active weather this week too, so chances for some showers and maybe a small thunderstorm far northwest in the state this afternoon. Those could work their way towards central areas late tonight. And then some more tomorrow morning, mainly down south. We're looking at storms rolling through tomorrow morning. Gone by midday, heat starts to crank up. And let me tell you, more storms Tuesday night and into our Wednesday morning. And after that, that's when it's going to be in the 90s with the humidity right up there as well, feeling very, very oppressive. So you're going to see me dripping sweat out here because I don't have AC. I don't have those luxuries. So we're going to be really living it this week.
It sure sounds like it. I mean, but... You're prepared for this. This is nothing you haven't seen before.
No.
You know?
Not at all. I've got the tent waterproof, staked down. I got the tarp underneath. I've got a fan, solar fan. I've even got solar charging devices, too. So a lot of different things working with the sun here.
What would be the biggest treat for you at Air Venture to be, you know, invited to do? Would it be to go up for a ride on the blimp, one of the military jets?
Fighter jet. For sure. Really? That would be crazy. That is on my bucket list. Still never gotten to do that. Sometimes they pick media to go. I've never been the lucky duck yet, so fingers crossed.
Mine would be getting an all-you-can-eat wristband to wear to go through all the food booths. That's because it's on the ground. I can do all that.
Yeah.
Well, we got the guys here, John, Gordy, you guys, air venture enthusiasts, and or any requests to make of Brittany while she's out there?
Well, I would love to go to the EAA sometime. I've never been there, but it sounds like a wonderful event. And it goes on all week, right? Right through
yes,
Friday, Saturday?
It does. Yep. All week long. And the really cool thing is if you want to avoid a lot of the people, you come during the week, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Monday through Wednesday. And then it kind of repeats. I mean, there's definitely different things every single day, but they kind of try to repeat the show again. So then Thursday through Saturday is kind of a repeat of that. But Wednesday and Saturday are my personal favorites because they have the night air show. So that is fireworks on top of planes flying. The planes are shooting off fireworks. And then there's explosives on the ground and just stuff you've never seen in the drone lights, too. And it is a show, let me tell you.
Sounds like a war zone.
It does, doesn't it?
Like. They actually act that out, too. When they have the military, they'll do like a military. This is what's happening. People dropping from helicopters, little bombs going off.
Like a reenactment. Okay.
Yes. I've never seen anything like that, but here.
To what degree, because I didn't really look, in it, but it also didn't stick out, are drones a part of this? Is it pretty much just, you know, aircraft that you can fly and that people fly as opposed to things that are unmanned?
Oh, they'll definitely have drones here, too. So anything that has to do with off the ground, they've got it here. So, yep, drones are a part of it. They've even got, like, cool GPS things for airplanes, too. I mean, tech side is really big, plus the aviation.
So anything defying gravity, which means the cast of Wicked will be there as well for a big sing-along. So stick around for that. Brittany, thank you so much for the weather update. Have lots of fun. Are you going to try to check in tomorrow?
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
Have fun. Great to see you. Before we talk more with Kristen and John and Gordy, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Of course, we've got notes in there today about the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Learn more about how the community comes together and all of the volunteers who make things work. Also, an article about American Family Field as the second half of the baseball season is underway now. Some of the best eats at AmFam Field this season. Also, there is a link to my article from our website. It's what's not in the state budget that is generating both anger and 2026 candidates. And all that and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. So, gang, I've got, you know, when they say a service person will be there to work on your cable or your appliances or whatever, and it said, you know, they'll be there between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a three-hour window now. It's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So Kristen probably noticed that I was kind of distracted over here as somebody was watching. 7:55, they're ready to go. Going, okay, let's take a look at that dishwasher, see what the problem is here. So
it's nice when you're the first on the list.
I know. Well, it turns out he lives in Chippewa. So, I was expecting somebody from the Twin Cities who was going to get here at like 4:59, you know, and say, oh, no, that still counts. So that's what that's how my week is getting off to a good start. You guys have a good weekend in Madison?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, it was kind of busy here. We had a Coldplay concert at Camp Randall Stadium.
Did you guys go? Were you guys cuddled up with each other before the Jumbotron
picture? Oh, that's so cute. You can do it now.
Well, yes. Yeah. But,
yes, that's what we did.
Okay.
Now, I understand that Coldplay, I guess the concert was great because the weather
was wonderful.
Yes, I've
heard a lot of great things.
And everything went well, but they warned people. Chris Martin warned everybody that, you know, the video is on, you know, we've got cameras here and just warning people, you know, they could be on camera. So I guess that's part of their show now.
If you're with somebody you shouldn't be with, you don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
It's part of everybody's show now. The Philadelphia Phillies did a whole takeoff on it. I mean, everybody's doing
it. A lot of sports teams, over the weekend had a little bit of fun with the Kiss Cam. Look, the Kiss Cam was always fraught with peril, okay? I mean, there have been other instances. There was a time recently when somebody was, like, ready, had the sign to hold up immediately to point at the woman next to him. This is my sister, you know, so he knew that the Kiss Cam was a possibility.
I like that. That was good.
So, I mean,
that original video has been seen more than 40 million times, at least over the weekend. That's the number I heard. Wow.
So the guy's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So the concert at Camp Randall was the first one in a long time. I mean, Camp Randall seems like a natural place as a concert venue, but it does not have a long record as one. Have you been to any concerts earlier than that at Camp Randall or other special
events? Did you go to Pink Floyd?
Well, I went to Pink Floyd.
Yeah. That was 30 years ago.
But they had a lot of concerts, I think, held there.
But I saw the Rolling Stones there.
Yes, you did. Really? They had them too.
Mm-hmm. Now, before Coldplay was there on Saturday, Morgan Wallen, a country singer, there.
Yes.
He was there 2 or 3 weeks ago for a Friday and Saturday night, a double, double date.
That was country and no one noticed.
Well, there were a lot of cowboy hats. And,
yeah. I don't know about that. When did you see the Rolling Stones, Kristen?
Must have been late 90s.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And it was a good show?
Yeah, it was a great show.
Okay. All right.
I saw the Stones at County Stadium in the 60s.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, really?
Yeah.
At County Stadium.
I think maybe early 70s. Yeah, early 70s. That's when it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was living in St. Paul 1976, and the Rolling Stones were performing at the St. Paul Civic Center. And we did not live too far from there, and we were just driving one evening, to go to grandma's house or something. I don't know what, because we were 12 years old at the time. I just remember seeing that out in the streets, like, you know, there was all this rowdy behavior going on. Come to find out the next day, they basically classified it as like a mini riot, as all these Stones fans came out of this. It was the mid-70s. It's what you did. You rioted after a concert, right? I mean,
well,
it was in the rule book.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we slept overnight in front of the County Stadium doors.
Did you really?
Get in, yes. Wow. Believe it or not. What a dumb thing to do.
Didn't we find out that we both were at a Stones concert at Alpine Valley?
Yes, Alpine Valley,
Around 1992, 93, somewhere in there, Steel Wheels tour.
Yes.
And it rained. But it was still a great
rained,
show.
You know?
Yeah. Well, here
rains at Alpine Valley.
Yeah. Here I get to share the Alpine Valley story that I don't think I've shared on air before. Amazingly, this thumb is still attached as a result of it.
Uh-oh.
It was a Jimmy Buffett concert, so margaritas may have been a factor. But at one point after the concert, you know, it takes forever to get out of Alpine Valley.
Yes.
And we could see that. And we thought, well, you know what? We're just going to keep tailgating here in the parking lot until traffic goes down a bit. It'll be fine. And somebody decided to get up on his family minivan and stand up there and take in the crowd and take in the music and all that. And that was all fine. No big deal. Other people were doing that as well. It was a fun night. And I go to get off the top of the family minivan, which had one of those luggage racks. My thumb along the luggage rack doing what I thought was a perfect Kerry Strug dismount. It turned out that I had sliced my thumb rather severely. And my wife, a doctor, says that's going to need stitches. And my response was, that doesn't need stitches. It just needs another margarita. And I dipped my cup in the bucket of margarita and imbibed and... we finally got out of there. You know, I kept pressure on it and everything. And finally, just as we're coming toward Madison on our way back to Chippewa Falls, I say to my wife rather groggily from the passenger seat, you know, if you want to stop at an ER, you know, if it'll make you feel better, we can do that. So she did. Aww, and of course,
how thoughtful of you.
Yes. The admitting clerk was like, you know, how did you do this? And I, of course, like, well, I closed the car door on it, you know.
Yeah.
And the look that she gave my wife and the wife gave her, because one thing it did not look like was a crush injury at all. But that was my story, and I was sticking to it.
How many stitches?
I don't remember how much it was, like six or something like that. So, you know, as soon as Sherry saw that the ligament hadn't been, I wasn't going to lose the thumb, but I was going to gain a scar and a reason to embarrass myself on statewide radio someday at the right moment. And it's the right moment, thanks to you people and telling me about Alpine Valley concerts.
You're kind of glossing over the fact that there was a lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood.
I would assume that there was a lot of blood.
There was. There was a lot of, and thinking, just enough pressure will do it. And as the person here who went to medical school can attest, there are sometimes when putting pressure on is just not enough.
I'm just shaking my head up here in my Brady Bunch corner, Pat.
Kristen doesn't have any embarrassing stories at all that she's not willing to share. Some of you are going to be taking off for a local update. For the rest of you, we'll be continuing this conversation where I let John and Gordy get a word in edgewise. And then when we're all back together in the next half hour, we're going to be talking a bit about toxic masculinity. Nothing that infects this show or John and Gordy's by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a thing, and it's being encouraged by, the MAGA groomers, one could say, and the MAHA ones, who are
taking anti-feminism to a new level with a new generation of vulnerable young women. That's all coming up on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight.
We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for a fun-filled day. They're throwing a Rafters Baseball Kids TV Takeover on Sunday, July 27th at 3:05 p.m., and you won't want to miss it. Your favorite Kids TV characters will be there ready to meet you and take pictures. Enjoy some tasty food and cheer on the team with your family and friends. It's going to be an awesome day of excitement and laughter, so bring everyone along to Witter Field. They can't wait to see you there.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Is to address that, and I'm hoping that that is something that is on everybody's radar over in Madison as much as in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly can't speak to, you know, the dynamics out in D.C.
Could you split? You know, I don't mean for you to try to speak for everybody. I didn't mean it like that. Sorry if I was setting you up that way.
But, I mean, I think when you take a look at, you know, what we were able to accomplish within this budget. And again, you know, the budget that the governor introduced, vastly different to the one that he signed into law. And I think that's a credit to the fact that we recognize that in divided government, yeah, there is going to be a lot of give and take. And this budget was a prime example of that. And, you know, I think from our standpoint, for those of us who voted on the budget, who negotiated the budget, you know, that is the most important thing that we have to do as legislators every 2 years is to pass a state budget. That is our number one responsibility. And I think for the vast majority of my colleagues, myself included, we understood the gravitas of what that meant. And, you know, while, you know, maybe it didn't go as far as some would like, maybe I certainly would have liked to see things changed and gone in a different direction. But, you know, understanding the reality that we're in, you know, we had to make some concessions. We had to work with Governor Evers. And as a result, through a lot of give and take and a lot of healthy discussions, you know, we came up with a document that one could pass out of both houses and one that he could sign into law. And so, you know, I think we're in a good spot. In fact, you know, one of the things I was really proud of were the investments that we made into areas like our free and charitable health clinics and our community health centers. In fact, we just had Noble Community Health Clinic opened up their new facility in Stevens Point, where myself, State Representative Vinnie Moresi, the governor, and DOA Secretary Kathy Blumenfeld were there. And and recognizing that, you know, it's things like these types of investments that help deliver results for underserved communities. And so, again, there's a lot to be thankful for in this budget. And, you know, now that it's passed, the governor signed it, you know, we've got a lot of work outstanding that we're going to be working on standalone bills going into this fall. You know, myself and Representative Kurtz working on things like the stewardship program. While that didn't get enumerated in this budget, we're working on a standalone bill. And we're getting stakeholders at the table. I know for a fact in a couple of weeks we're going to be introducing a medical marijuana bill that I'm hoping we can get support for. And so there's going to be a lot of big bills that we're working on for this fall.
Speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and I appreciate the transparency, the conversation as always, sir. And that latter part thing that you mentioned there, we'll probably be talking about next month or in the coming weeks here, or coming months, I imagine. Last month, rewinding a little bit, the Senate Transportation and Local Government Committee and the Assembly Jobs and Economic Committee had separate public hearings on your bipartisan bill that attempts to attract more workers and families to relocate to Wisconsin. Can you tell us a little more about how that went and what that specifically that bill is that you're working to get more and more attention to?
Yeah, so this legislation is called Make My Move. So we were able to allocate $5 million into the state budget. And again, this is pending approval and passage of legislation that is going to be aimed at providing our Wisconsin Economic Development Commission another tool in the toolbox to attract talent from outside of the state. So allowing communities to receive grant dollars to attract professionals to move in. And as I've often said on this show and others is that, you know, we are in a, we're in competition with 49 other states. And when you take a look at our demographic challenges, our aging population continues to increase exponentially. We need to do more if we want to grow as a state. We have seen basically stagnation in growth for the last 10 to 15 years. And so we need to do a better story of attracting people to come into the state. And so by creating legislation like this, I think it's going to provide communities the opportunity to go out there and make the case as to why their places, whether it's Wisconsin Rapids or Stevens Point or all the way up to Superior or down to Beloit, that Wisconsin is the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
Look forward to hearing more about that and seeing where how that develops. Another thing we'll be touching on probably next month. Wanted to get into this one with you as well. The importance of the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program, the ARIP program here. Why is that so important to you? I noticed that you brought some attention to it in your most recent newsletter and encourage people to sign up for that. Why did you want to bring some attention to that one, sir?
Well, I think it's critically important when we talk about our rural infrastructure. I think one of the biggest criticisms that I've heard from constituents over the years is that oftentimes when we talk about how we fund our infrastructure system, oftentimes people get critical of the fact that they see all of our money going to the southeastern part of the state, which obviously have major corridors of arteries of commerce, but they feel like we've been falling behind. And so last budget, we allocated $150 million for a new program that is dedicated to improving our rural agricultural infrastructure. And it was widely popular. In fact, of $150 million that we set aside in the last biennium, there was over $500 million in grant requests. So we reallocated that funding this go-around in this budget, approved another $150 million, and then dedicated a portion of that $150 million to help with our small bridges and culverts, which oftentimes you'll see headlines of, you know, trucks that basically they collapse them because they're too heavy. And so making sure that and understanding that our rural economy is one of the backbones of our state and making those investments go a long way. And so I think this next round, $150 million, I suspect we're going to see probably again in excess of over $500 million in requests. Just goes to show that we've got a lot more work that needs to be done on that front. But again, making the investment now is going to set us up for future success.
Yeah, it's not always the most sexy of topics, but boy, do we need good roads. And as important as it is for us in day-to-day use, our truckers, our trucking industry, our farming industry so badly need those things. It's a good one to hear on, and another thing that we'll be keeping an eye on, sir. not a, I can't imagine, you know, I think you and I have a handful of things in common, but probably not too many. But I found a new one that you and I share. You recently got to throw out the first pitch at a Wisconsin Rapids Rafters game. I have gotten to do that as well. That is a joy that you don't forget anytime soon. Did you have fun?
It was a blast. So the UWSP Alumni Association, they had a basically a tailgate party at one of the...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and Iowa Senator Joni Ernst have introduced legislation to expand access to mental health care for farmers. Joanne Krulatz reports.
According to a press release, the proposed bill seeks to increase support for the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network. The network connects agricultural workers to mental health resources and services like stress assistance programs. The bill would authorize an additional $15 million in funding for the network to hire additional staff and address varying needs among different farming populations.
It brings over 500,000 people to Northwest Wisconsin, but what's the economic impact of EAA? Lisa Hale answers that question.
It's here. Even though planes have been flying in all weekend, today marks the official start of EAA Air Venture. The week-long fly-in convention draws aviation enthusiasts from all around the world and is expected to draw more than 600,000 visitors to the area this week. A study by UW Oshkosh shows EAA contributes $257 million in economic impact for the five-county Fox Valley region and $117 million in economic impact for Oshkosh alone. The UWO study of 2024's Air Venture showed the event directly created 2,092 full and part-time jobs in the region, with 815 of those in Oshkosh.
EAA Air Venture runs through July 27th. Visit eaa.org/airventure for information and a schedule of events. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I love it when I hope rumors are true. According to the New York Post, there are rumblings that Fleetwood Mac will reunite. It's not just from the paparazzi, but rather from Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. They did a coordinated Instagram post sparking rumors. Nicks posted song lyrics from Frozen Love, and Buckingham completed them. The two famously dated and broke up, just like fellow band members Christine and John McVie. Breakups have served the band well, though, because the album they were making during said breakups was Rumors and was awesome. I'm a sucker for a good cop show. My favorite detective show in the last several years is probably Amazon Prime's Bosch. And I also like the spinoff Bosch Legacy. The show has produced yet another spinoff called Ballard, which is based on a character introduced in the last season of Bosch Legacy, Detective Renee Ballard. The detective elements of the show are great, but star Maggie Q lacks a certain charisma. Having said that, there is a lot going on, and the cold cases Ballard takes on are pretty cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. It's going to be warm and muggy with a high in the low to mid 80s with scattered thunderstorms possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination.
our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
In the morning on this Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Pat Kreitlow here, Parker Olson producing in Madison, Dr. Kristen Lyerly with us as well. And let me start this segment talking about a couple of programs that come through Up North News' parent company, Courier Newsroom. We've talked a couple of times about the video series, How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes? And I wanted to spend a little extra time on her last two episodes. How Is This Better challenges the grifters out there, the ones controlling our government and our attention and so much of our daily lives. And this week, Akilah Hughes explores the dangerous online pipelines that lure men seeking harmless advice into radical ideologies. The episode delves into the manipulative tactics used by figures like Andrew Tate and Joe Rogan to push hyper-masculine agendas, and highlights the detrimental effects of these ideologies on mental health, relationships, and societal norms. Let's hear a little 90-second clip from Akilah Hughes' program this week, How Is This Better?
To be the alpha, to be attractive, the best thing you can do is to wear your Trump support on your sleeve. Show that you are a real man. Show that you...
Women pretend what they want is the beta, but what they actually want is the alpha.
And there's this weird line that's blurred in the manosphere space where you can't tell when somebody's doing a bit or when somebody's being genuine.
And I have to tell you, it took a lot for me to write this episode. The problems with men who've been sucked into these pipelines online are so vast and endless, it's almost impossible to tell the story in full with adequate levels of pity, empathy, and outrage at just how extreme all of this has become. Still, if you've spent any time online in the past decade, you've seen the momentum growing in the manosphere, telling men and vulnerable little boys that they too can have it all, and their idea of it all means silent, baby-making wife mommies and making more money than God by being more efficient than computers. It's a fool's errand and total farce, but if you have the time, and in many cases money, to become isolated and undesirable to everyone around you, you're the perfect mark in this ongoing con. I'm Akilah Hughes, and this week, I'm looking at the dangerous online pipeline directed at men who were simply looking for health advice or gaming clips, and how the smallest amount of curiosity can lead to frankly deadly results, and asking, how is this better?
Now, last week, the shoe was on the other foot as Akilah highlighted a new flavor of conservative content targeting women online, the rise of the trad wife aesthetic, the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again movement, and how a wellness pipeline is pulling women to the political right, from TikTok videos to wellness-themed women's conferences from Turning Point, perhaps America's best-known far-right supplier of extremism, and getting vulnerable women to embrace outdated anti-feminist tropes. You can watch both of those episodes of the series How Is This Better? On YouTube. You can also watch or listen on Spotify, or you can listen on Apple. You can also watch it right from the Courier website. Go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. And so, Kristen, we've talked previously on the show, but I wanted to spend a little bit of extra time on this whole notion of how the far right, the people who love to scream about groomers the most, that really is a sense of projection. When you look at who's doing the real grooming toward unhealthy lifestyles, it's happening right there on the American far right.
It is, with some of the most vulnerable people in society, and they don't even realize that it's happening because it's so insidious, and it reinforces some of our greatest fears and the things that we are worried about for our futures. But just because it's happening doesn't mean that we don't have the tools to combat it. And those tools are the same thing that we use every day. It's conversation. It's listening to each other. It's actually confronting some of these flawed assumptions and meeting it with reality and understanding and trust and, frankly, love.
And let's understand that a lot of this push toward, you know, traditionalism, you know, where the man is the alpha and the woman stays at home and has babies and all that. Let's acknowledge that there is reason for that to catch on. Mm-hmm. The frustrations of daily life, the failings of, you know, this stage of capitalism. So there is fertile ground for the far right, you know, to fertilize, if you will. And it just makes it all the more important for those conversations is to acknowledge there's confusion, acknowledge there's angst, acknowledge people have questions about, you know, their health and their lifestyle. And again, if we're not willing to have those conversations with these folks, somebody else will.
It's true. There is always some truth to these movements. That is the base of it. But it's when you take that little grain of truth and then you funnel people into a place where you don't give them the full picture of what's happening, but just that isolated idea of what you want them to believe. And for me, as an OBGYN doctor who believes that people have the ability to make their own healthcare decisions for themselves within the context of their own lives, you need to know what all of your options are, not just the ones that a certain movement want you to have.
Yeah. It certainly has occurred to me many times over the years is, you know, how does this get to be a thing? Because again, I was raised by a single mom, you know, the oldest of four kids. There was no room for toxic masculinity anywhere in there. And so when you see it, and I of course have seen a lot of it over time, it's very tough sometimes to still feel like, how does that stick? How does talking down to women, for example, you know, how does that stick with folks? But, you know, this is what they have been exposed to. And you as an OBGYN, my wife Sherry is an OBGYN, you've seen some dads to be come in there who are just the most wonderful guys. And you see these others come in, and you don't have to acknowledge thinking this. I'll tell you, somebody else I know thinks it. It's like, who had sex with you so that you could reproduce? Because you might be creating another you, and you're a slime ball.
Don't you think that so much of this stuff is stuff that we see in the predominant culture? Like, I think of when I was a kid, and that this was what my dad believed. My mom had a job before she got married and decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. But for my dad in the 70s, it was prestigious to have a wife who was home. And that was important to him. But it didn't actually work for them. He wasn't able to make enough money. She wasn't able to get all the things done. You have to have, in a healthy relationship, give and take. And that means that our gender roles aren't as clearly defined as the MAHA and the toxic masculinity movements would have us believe.
Right. And so let's turn to the women for a moment here, because again, it a lot of times takes two to tango, and you have, again, the term nowadays is trad wife, you know, traditional mm-hmm. wife. And again, these videos that are pulling women saying, you know, look at how hard, you know, these women, look, I would not want my daughters to be like, say, the Kardashians. I wouldn't. But I also, the alternative to that isn't to, well, not have a job if you actually want a career, if you want to work. You know, you should have those kinds of opportunities. But you can see for other women, they've been told that that's, you know, that's a wrong path. That's a turnout. And you too, like other docs, you've seen people come in who are a little too docile, you know, compliant, whatever the case may be. And you kind of want to say to them, you know, blink twice if you're a hostage.
Yeah. I mean, being a stay-at-home mom, being part of the MAHA movement, like that is not, it's not inherently bad. If that's something that you want and yes. is meaningful to you, that's great. Do it in an informed way, just like everything else in life. Know what all of your options are so that you can make those appropriate choices for yourself. But, you know, Pat, we haven't talked about how things that are happening now in society are reinforcing that. Like, if you can't get childcare, which is happening all over Wisconsin, and we know it's going to get much worse in the future, then you don't have an option. Somebody has to stay home. So that really takes away your ability to do something other than be part of what is that growing MAHA-type movement.
It comes back to, I don't want to lose my train of thought here, but of course, there it went. and it's always tough to have that happen on live radio. But it was about, oh, here it is.
Look, I saw you wandering as you were looking at this.
It came right back. It eventually, it was just doing it was in a holding pattern over Oshkosh someplace. And it came back. It was about the child care and some of the comments that I was seeing online, again, coming from your troll area going, well, I don't know why we have to pay these people to be such babysitters. And Corrine Hendrickson, much to her credit, got right in there in the comment section and said, why don't you explain what you mean by babysitter? Why don't you explain? She listed all the expenses that she incurs to be, a good professional child care provider and say, which of those things would you cut out of your child's life? Mm-hmm. And I know that there's that talking point of, well, we didn't need organized daycare before.
No, we did.
You did. You just didn't get it. And our society has grown to a point that embraces early childhood education so that, our kids are informed citizens and not dullards and who have, manners and literacy and all of that. And you still have people going, well, I was plopped in front of a TV and I turned out fine.
That was when we had PBS.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at least you had PBS to be plopped in front of. Although the answer is more like, no, you didn't. If you were just plopped in front of a TV, you probably didn't turn out just fine. Unless, again, you had some more informative programming out there. But, I mean, this is just one aspect of it, the whole notion of affordable childcare. But also, there's something to be said about sex education. And again, empowerment for young people comes with knowledge rather than guessing or finding things on TikTok videos instead. So you do need affordable education. You do need affordable childcare. You do need good healthcare so that you're not like just searching on the interwebs for anything that you can find. All of these pieces come into place. And if you don't, if you fight against them in the name of, you got to keep my taxes low, you're going to get what you pay for.
Can I just bring this back to healthcare like I always do? Yes. It is so frustrating to me that people cannot afford healthcare, so they look on TikTok, because who can blame you? You need answers. Something is wrong with you. You need to figure out how to fix it. So you go to the place where you can access information. But TikTok is regular people just like sharing opinions as facts. Or sometimes it's Secretary Kennedy sharing disinformation that people believe and are basing their healthcare decisions on. And sometimes those healthcare decisions end up costing them their lives or setting them on a path that determines the rest of their lives that they didn't want because they didn't know what all of their options are. So if we had access to quality, affordable healthcare, if we could go see a healthcare practitioner to get our questions answered and to get the therapies and the treatments that we need for our physical and mental health, we wouldn't be living in this dystopian society that we've created.
Yeah, but we do. And you think if one of the lessons we would have learned from the pandemic was the heartbreaking tales of people who were dying right before dying of COVID, were saying to the doctors and nurses, why won't you tell me what's really wrong with me?
Yes.
Because they, on their deathbed, would not believe that COVID was real because of the conspiracies that they were taught. So, folks, we can do this better. And you can start by watching How Is This Better on YouTube or listening on Spotify or checking out the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com, and catch How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes. In my monitor, out the corner of my eye, I see that Jane Matinere is back, which is good because I didn't know on the road trip, they were doing Butternut and Hayward, and I didn't know if they'd ever come back from up north. It's God's country up there,
It is beautiful.
But they've made it back. So we'll find out from Jane Matinere what's coming up on her program, which follows this one here weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Are you or a loved one facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free and confidential support 24/7. Powered by 211 Wisconsin, local trained specialists can help connect you with local service providers for treatment, peer support, harm reduction tools, and more. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211 or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this July 18th, 2025. Show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Big thank you to them for sponsoring. And a big thank you to our friends at the Boys and Girls Club here in Wisconsin Rapids. We got our friend Jennifer Allen joining us. Jennifer, it's been a while.
It has been. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. We always had the door open for you guys. Love the work that you guys do over there. A big appreciation to you and the staff. Looking out and having fun with the kids. We appreciate it. We're going to dive into some summer events going on over there right now. Where do you want to start?
Sure. So our summer program is halfway through already, actually.
Yeah.
So we have over 350 kids enrolled at the Boys and Girls Club, and we have about 200 kids coming daily. It's been a great summer. We were able to go have a day with the Rafters and watch a game at the Rafters. And we have lots of field trips, lots of out and about adventures. Our kids really love getting out in the community and being part of it. So it's been fun so far.
Really good to hear. I have to say that I pass the building twice every day. And every time I'm passing it during the day, It is just such a, the energy over there, the vibe over there just seems to be so great. Even just driving past, I pick up on it. I can't imagine being in the building and the times that I've gotten to talk to the kids and some of the people over there. Just a really fun vibe, really good energy over there. And great to hear. Great to hear it's been a successful summer already. Is there anything coming up that we wanted to let anybody know about?
Sure. Actually, next week, we are in partnership with the Kids from Wisconsin group, and they have a workshop going on before their tour. So it's called the Heat is On Tour. It's a group from the Kids from Wisconsin group is a group of kids that actually have to rehearse and try out to be part of this group. It's an amazing show if you haven't been. I went for the first time last year. The show is on Wednesday the 23rd at 6:30. Tickets are available online to purchase, and then the workshop is right before that. The workshop is free to the community. You just need to sign up for it. We have a group of about 35 club kids that are going to be attending, so it's a pretty neat workshop. It focuses on song and dance, musical composition, or you can do something with a musical instrument. You would just have to bring your own instrument. So there's kind of three different tracks that kids can participate in, and then they can go to the show afterwards.
It's such a wonderful opportunity for everybody. Now, certainly if you were a kid like me and would have just killed for something like this as a kid that wanted to be an actor since he was seven and stuff, it's such a wonderful opportunity for kids. But one of the reasons that I bring up that up, and I bring up performing or sports or a lot of the things that you can find at the Boys and Girls Club, whatever a child might do in the future or where they might go with these things, we don't know, and none of us really have an idea necessarily. But one thing we know is they could use some confidence, some people skills, working with others, fellowship. So many of these things that are hard to teach, but you have to kind of be doing them to learn. And you get so much of that from just taking a workshop like this or being involved in some of the activities with the Boys and Girls Club. Kids get these things. They oftentimes get a chance to hang out with or work with kids that they don't always in their school. And there's so many other great opportunities that are available through a program like this, through a workshop like this. And it's just a fun opportunity for families, for kids, for the whole community.
Yes.
Getting to see kids up there on that stage that you may know or neighbors or your kids go to school with them or something, that's a whole other level of enjoyment. It's going to be fun, and we support all the kids and all the performers on that stage. But our locals, they bring out a little bit something extra in us.
Yes, 100%. And some of these kids maybe wouldn't try to one of these pathways because they weren't exposed to it. So we're kind of creating that exposure, making sure they can see what's out there and try it, because you might like it. You don't even know yet unless you try it. So,
And it's really cool to be able to not only have that, but again, to the workshop point of this, which is, again, open to the public. It's free. There is another just great opportunity, not only for them to gain the things that I was talking about there, but then to learn those things from people that really know what they're doing, really good teachers, really good people that have worked with kids for many years. And, know how to really speak kid. I don't know how else to say that, but you know what I'm talking about, Jennifer.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, it's
a thing. Yeah.
I bring this up in part because my kids are all in their 20s, they're older and everything, and I forget sometimes when I'm talking to my nephew or my godson or something, kids don't get sarcasm, and that's like my main thing. That's what I mainly do. Things like that, they're very good at, and they're really good with those things. And again, the event is coming up real soon. We'll touch on the details of that before we wrap up.
Sure.
But I do appreciate you bringing that to us, Jennifer. If you don't mind, I did want to talk a little bit about some of the programs and some of the things that are available at the Boys and Girls Club. Just thinking about it as we're talking here, we just don't get to hang out nearly enough and get to bring attention to that nearly enough. When it comes to that, if somebody's out there listening and they're just new to town or something or haven't heard of the Boys and Girls Club that much, can we talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys offer over there?
Sure. So the Boys and Girls Club is really a safe place for kids to be before and after school, and then we have a 10-week summer program. It's very affordable for families, and it's something that we struggle with capacity, so we are at our limit. So we actually have a wait list. So what I encourage families to do is sign up right away as soon as our registration is out, because our spots do fill up. So in the school year, we have before school programs at all of the elementary schools in the Wisconsin Rapids District, and then we have our after-school program that is at our Rapids Center. And so that program, we focus really on healthy lifestyles, making sure that the kids are getting out and about, active, going over to the YMCA, swimming, playing basketball, those types of things. We help them with homework. We have positive adults and mentors that work with the kids, and we really just want them to have fun, honestly, safe until the parents get done with work and can pick them up. So our after-school program and our before-school program are very similar. Our summer program embodies all of those things as well. It's just longer and louder and it's busier and it's fun. So we really, like I said before, we try to really get the kids out and about in the community. And it also allows them to see what's important in our community to give back to our own community. So we have been doing field trips. We do community service projects. We work with like United Way, with United We Can. We're a United Way partner program. And then it's really just giving them a place to be for the whole summer so that they're not at home and they're not just on their phones or not just, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing. So it's kind of a neat and unique program to the area, and we're really proud of our center that we have.
If I can piggyback on that, it's also one of the more vital programs we have in this area. And and the work that you guys do over there is really appreciated.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, the pilot of a Delta connection flight with 80 people on board, says he swerved to avoid a B-52 bomber jet as he was coming in for a landing in Minot, North Dakota.
He said, turn right. I said, there's an airplane over there. And he says, turn left. And then by the time we read back the clearance, looked over and saw the airplane that was kind of coming on in.
There's a sentencing hearing today for a former Louisville police officer who could get as little as one day in prison in Breonna Taylor's death. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
Taylor's family and their attorney have called this recommendation an insult.
A federal judge hears arguments in Harvard's lawsuit against the Trump administration's freeze on research funding and grants. WBZ-TV's Samantha Cheney.
Harvard, they want a judge to make a ruling on this without going to trial. The university wants the court to cancel the government's freeze on its federal funds and to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.